Good morning. It's good to be here. It's kind of it's kind of like the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Spoke our first Sunday back and also the last. So it's good to be here. As I was asked to speak and thinking about what the Lord would have me to share, the Lord brought a message to me, and it just, if I would give it a title, it would be, you know, Finding the Heart of God. It's just, as I was thinking and pondering what the Lord would have me to share, the Lord reminded me of an instance that happened as we were in Mongolia. And pardon me, I don't remember if I shared it when I shared the other week, but if so, just listen for what I have to say. And when it was about October, I got a phone call from a guy in town, from Inkmunk, and he's the director of World Vision, our Vision Fund, which is part of World Vision, and he asked me to come and share at what they were going to have, like a workers' retreat. All the Vision Fund workers would come, they'd have a day down by the river, have a cookout, just kind of a team-building kind of thing. And he wanted me to come and share, World Vision being a Christian organization, no one in the organization being Christian, but he wants to make everything look good to the, when he turns in his reports, he got a pastor to come and share at their team building event. And he wanted me to come and share. I said, well, okay, what do you want me to share about? And he gave me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 as a text. And I don't know where he got that. I know he got it from the Bible. But as knowing a bit of his spiritual depth, he's a seeker, but very surface, and when I read it, I thought, well, this is interesting. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And I thought, you know, this is what he wants to see in his office. He wants to see his co-workers, his employees being kind and compassionate, you know, a nice team, forgiving one another. And, you know, that's exactly what he wants. And I thought, you know, that's nice. And then I looked again, and just as in Christ, God forgave you. And see what? That changed the whole meaning of being kind. We can be kind. You can give a piece of candy to a stranger on the street, and it's kind. But is that as in Christ, how God deals with us? Because God isn't just, I mean, he does nice things, but And forgiving, do we forgive as Christ forgave us? So as I went and I was sharing with this group, and I'm like, you know, this is the perfect opportunity. They share with these people, they ask for how to be nice and kind and treat each other in the workplace. And a very secular request of a pastor. And they got more than they asked for, I think. But as in Christ, God forgave you. And so I shared the story with them. I said, you're sitting by the river. And I said, you know, if you look out across the river, and it wasn't that big of a river, but I said, imagine there's a boat out in that river, and that boat is sinking. And the only way that the people, the 100 or so people on that boat, can be saved is if you give your life so that you have the key to their salvation. But you're going to die in order to save them. Would you rescue those people? And they thought a little bit, well, yeah, they would. They would give their life, one life for 100. That would be a good thing to do. And I said, well, what if the people on that boat were all Chinese people? Would you give your life? No. Absolutely not. No question, no second thoughts. They were confident. So as in Christ, God forgive you. I said, we're supposed to forgive the way God forgave us. God forgave us when we were enemies of God's. He gave his life for us to save the multitude, even when we were enemies. And so it's not just forgiving, being kind, being compassionate, but doing it as God did. So how do we live as God did? So we'll come back to that. I'm going to turn now to the book of Jonah. And as I was thinking about that Ephesians passage, my mind came back to some thoughts I shared earlier this summer about Jonah. We see the word of the Lord coming to Jonah, and Jonah running away. So why did Jonah run away? We hear preachers say that he ran away because he didn't like the Ninevites. He would have been happy that they were killed, and that's true. But Jonah himself makes a statement and tells God exactly why he ran away. In Jonah chapter 1, or Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Actually, I'll start at verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew you were gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God of relenting from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah knew God. He had complete faith in God. If I go to Nineveh, God's going to forgive them, and I don't want that. Jonah knew who God was. As Christians, I think often we know who God is. We've been to Sunday school. We've memorized John 3:16. We know all the verses that kind of tell us who God is. But do we live our lives in a way that really models God? Jonah, he knew God. He knew in his heart, or in his head, or in his heart, who God was. But that knowledge didn't translate into living out the heart of God. He ran away. So I started thinking about this, and I don't like to look at God's word as being unapplicable to today. So how does this apply to today? And I thought about Jonah and who he must have been. God called him. God chose him out of all of the Hebrew people. So here's a good Hebrew. I'm going to call him. I think Jonah was exactly that. He was a good Hebrew. He was a good Jew. He was doing everything probably just right. Somehow he knew that God was gracious and compassionate. But the way he was living, he was mentioned in the Sunday school, how Stephen was brought before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were doing everything just right. Doing everything just right. But here comes truth, and they miss it. Here Jonah heard truth, and he runs away. How many times are we living in a way everything looks good? Everything is just. Everybody looks at us and says, "Ah, good Hebrew. He's doing a good job. Yeah, he's a prophet. He's one of God's chosen ones. God talks to him." But this whole outside, the whole act of being a Hebrew hadn't changed who Jonah was on the inside. He ran away. God rescued him up out of the ocean, or up from death, and he's in the belly of the whale. He repents, at least to a certain point, enough that he gets a second chance. God calls him a second time, go to Nineveh, and he goes. And what is the message that Jonah preaches in Nineveh? On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. He pronounced judgment on them. He didn't say, if you repent, God will forgive you. He still, I think, wanted them to be wiped out. And we see evidence of that in chapter 4. Jonah went because God called him. Jonah was a missionary. As believers, we can answer God's call. Maybe reluctantly. Jonah was very reluctant, but he answered God's call. And this morning I'm not necessarily talking about being a missionary. I'm just talking about answering God's call. Jonah is used as an example of a missionary, but yet there was only one Noah built an ark. Only one Moses was chosen to lead the Israelites. Maybe only a few were called to Mongolia, but we're all called to follow God. And that's where I'm headed this morning, challenging each one to look at where God has you today. So, as God called Jonah, he went because God called him to go, and he did what God asked him to do, but his heart and God's heart were just really missing it. God wanted to save these people. Jonah wanted the people to get burned up. He was remembering Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's like, yes, this will be fun to watch. So he leaves the city after pronouncing judgment on them. Unfortunately, in chapter 3, verse 5, says the Ninevites believed God. I think he was a little bit disappointed that God was really being God. And so the heart of God, when we're doing all the right things, Jonah was doing all the right things, but totally missing it. He just totally missing it. But Jonah, chapter 4, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He leaves the city angry because the people have repented. Jonah had so become part of the world around him that he had taken on their way of thinking. God loves us. God despises them. God's going to bless us. God's going to judge them. And he had bought into a mentality that was not the heart of God. So after Jonah says, isn't that why I ran away? I ran away because I knew this is what you're going to do. I knew you're going to forgive him. That's why I didn't even want to come here. I just wanted to run away. I just wanted to die. And I'll just die right now. Just go ahead. It's not worth. I don't even want to see these people be saved. That would just really ruin my day. But the Lord said, have you any right to be angry? See, why is Jonah upset? Because God wants to save his people. The vine grows up, the vine withers down, and Jonah's still angry. But God said to Jonah again, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not have concern about that great city? So we see God has a heart for people, a heart for salvation. Jonah was all caught up in feeling good. A nice shade, being comfortable, sit back and watch a movie, watch the city burn up. I don't think that'd be great. He was about pleasing himself. Even though everything looked right, he was a prophet, he had obeyed God, he didn't have the heart of God. So how do we find the heart of God? How do we forgive as Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you? And as I was thinking about this, and what is the difference between just simply living the Christian life, going on, or having the heart of God? This week I came across in my devotions and Romans chapter 12, and I saw some verses there that are very familiar and struck me in a new way. Starting in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you would be able to test and approve God's will, what God's will is, His good and perfect, good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I started, you know, kind of comparing that with Jonah. Jonah, he finally kind of gave up, gave himself to God, said, okay, I'll go. He went to Nineveh, but he still didn't have the heart of God. He didn't understand what God wanted. He says, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. Jonah had that all the thinking in his mind, just like everybody else. It'd be just really good if they would get wiped out. And here, God's on my side. He's going to wipe them out. And we're not even going to have to go to war. He was thinking like the world. So how do we get out of that mindset? How do we transition from thinking like the world to thinking like having the heart of God, having the mind of God? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you're able to test and approve God's will. What God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So as we renew our minds, as we change, earlier in Ephesians, it talks about taking off the old self, putting on the new self. It's that renewal. It's taking the thoughts, the patterns of the world, setting them aside, and changing not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And I think Jonah had a good facade on the outside. He had done good changing on the outside, being a good Jew, but on the inside, he was really missing it. And so here it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When our mind is renewed, when the old self is taken off and the new self is put on, then we'll know the will of God. Had Jonah done that, had he been renewed from the inside, he would have known that God wanted to save Nineveh. He had been excited that God was going to save Nineveh. Because then God, as he was transformed, God was going to transform them, and things were going to get better. We often look at the Old Testament, and we see God's judgment and God's favoritism toward the children of Israel. And then there's the Great Commission, and God says, now go. We think, well, in the Old Testament, God was getting everything ready, and now finally everything's in place. He says, now go. But all through the Old Testament, there's verses about to all people, to all nations. God has and always will care for all people. It's the heart of God to care for all people. But when we just have this outside that's right, and then we sit down and try to figure out how we should live, it's just going to be like the Pharisees trying to decide if Stephen was guilty or not. They were thinking about it from their point of view, not from God's point of view. But once our minds are transformed, then we begin to see and think and feel and like God and act out what God would have us to do. So the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? How do we have the heart of God? And it's knowing the heart of God. Jonah had it a little bit. He had started in that he knew the characteristics of God. He knew that God was compassionate. But he didn't like that. He himself didn't want to be compassionate. He himself didn't want to be living like God. Because that wasn't the cool thing to do. It wasn't the way, that's just not the way it's done. So, renewed mind. And then, going to Ephesians chapter 4, where I started out. S- starting in verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to the former life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's the change. We can't think, well, if I become a missionary, then God's going to use me in great ways, and God's going to transform me. Or if I do this good thing or that good thing, because we see Jonah doing a good thing, being a missionary, going, preaching the gospel to the people of Nineveh, at least that they repented, but his heart wasn't right. And somehow, in spite of our weakness, God still uses us. God's still using me in Mongolia. God still used Jonah. God used Paul and Peter and all these ones that they had their weaknesses. But it's the transformation. And when you see the transformation and you realize that I don't think like the rest of the people around me. It's not that I live this way because I have to live this way, but I live this way because I want to. I live this way because it's the heart of God. To be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do we want to be righteous and holy? Or is it easier to just blend in? And I see a lot of people just kind of going through life very unchanged by God's word. They read it, they see it, but really no effect. So it's that transformation. And so to have the heart of God, to understand the forgiveness that we have, and then for that to translate and make a difference in our life. Continue on. Verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truly of his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work and do something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. So he gives this whole list of things that people should not be doing. We should be kind to each other. We should care for each other. We're the body of Christ. We should be looking after each other, encouraging each other, not discouraging each other, not lying, not stealing. All these things that he's saying that we need to do. But how do we do these things? Sometimes we try and try to be the good missionary. And at times I find myself doing the very thing that I'm speaking about this morning. You try so hard to do it on your own strength. Do it the way you've always done it because it should work. We've always done it that way. And it's just kind of the outside. But on the inside, you don't have the energy, and people can see through that. He says it, but you know, I don't think he really believes it. But when what we believe comes from the inside out, it's not doing it because we have to. There's a lot of things the Jews did because they have to. They continue to do that until today. But it doesn't make the Jewish people a happy people. My dad being a truck driver, got into New York City a lot of times, had opportunity to get into a Jewish home at a delivery, and the guy's like, yeah, come over to my house. I'll show you my house. They have all these sinks. They wash their chicken here, and they wash, you know, the different sinks and the different sets of dishes that they have to use to do this and do that, because they have to, because this is the way we do it. I also had the opportunity myself, being in New York, while I was at SMBI years ago, get into a Jewish synagogue. It was on a Saturday, and they were doing their thing, and we kind of sat toward the back and just observed. And they sang their songs, and their songs just droned on and on and on about how, you know, they're just wanting this Messiah to come, and will you ever come? And, I mean, it's just, oh, please come. They're just waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah, and they missed it. They're doing all the right things, but they totally, totally missed it. And so they're sad, and they're just kind of going through life. But we don't have to go through life. We can be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that difference is, just as in Christ God forgave you, just as in Christ God loves you, just as in Christ God deals with us in those ways. We need to deal with others in the same way that God deals with us. And how can we do that? It's so opposite. Loving your enemies. It's opposite. It's God's way. It's not our way. Forgiving someone that's done something against you. It just doesn't make sense. Why would I forgive that person? Being kind and compassionate. A lot of times I think we're kind and compassionate because it's the right thing to do. Not because... we really want to, but we know it's the right thing to do. But to pursue God and pursue change. And as I've been here at Shiloh, in and out over the different times, I heard Elwin's message back in July when it was his first Sunday back in the pulpit, and hearing that message and his desire to take some steps forward. There's the struggles in the past, and to get ahead of that. And how do we get ahead of that? Do we get ahead of those struggles? Do we move ahead by being a good Mennonite, or do we move ahead by taking on the heart of God, by living as God would have us to live, by making decisions based on what God would have us to do, having the heart of God? This is my challenge for myself and my challenge for Shiloh in the coming days as you move forward. And I wasn't here the last year through some of the struggles and things that went on, hearing bits and pieces there. But just really, yeah, it's my prayer for Shiloh that you would just find energy in having the heart of God. Thank you so much.